Celebrate the historic 100th Greeley Stampede, June 23rd through July 4th, featuring concerts, rodeo, carnival, and more. Tickets available at GreeleyStampede.org. Celebrate the historic 100th Greeley Stampede, June 23rd through July 4th, featuring concerts, rodeo, carnival, and more. Tickets available at GreeleyStampede.org.
After the 1 o'clock hour, welcome back to the whole show. Starting this thing off the right way, we've got Chris, don't call me Christopher Dempsey of Altitude TV joining the show. Chris, huge game tonight for the Nuggets. They magic number's one, right? They need to win at least one game to make sure, I suppose, to avoid that play-in game. So tonight's game's pretty significant.
Yeah, you're exactly right. The magic number is one, so either they win. They can just take care of business. Just win the game.
Yeah,
they
just win
the game. They're the top thing. But if they happen to lose, because what we're going to talk about here is how good Memphis is. If they happen to lose this game, then they need Minnesota to also lose. And Minnesota, I don't know. I can't remember who they play tonight. I don't remember it being a very significant team. Just take care of business, and you're in the top. You lock yourself in the top six. But if they don't, then they'll need a Minnesota loss. And if they get that, then they'd also be in. So one or the other. But if you have the opportunity to control your own destiny, you want to do that.
Chris, I got you too. They have San Antonio tonight, and then Chicago Sunday for the T-Wolves to wrap things up.
Oh, okay. So that is a significant team, San Antonio. The Nuggets still. And I think if you're the Nuggets, you also just want to get yourself in a space where you are playing a better brand of basketball. You are imposing your style of basketball on the court and not just reacting to the other team's style of basketball. And that'll get put to the test here tonight, because Memphis has a specific way with which they play. And, you know, can you take them out of some of that while getting your own personality on the court? Because I thought in that San Antonio game that the Spurs really just controlled how that game was going to be played. They just controlled how the Nuggets were going to play offense, and the Nuggets were just not comfortable on the offensive end the majority of the night, and I thought that showed. I mean, they only scored 97 points. They only had 22 assists. I mean, you know, this is a Nuggets team that's one of the best assist teams in the NBA, and so are the Spurs, but the Spurs got that on the court. They had 30-plus assists that night. The Nuggets had 22, and so you understand which team was able to get their personality on the court. The Nuggets can't let that happen against Memphis here tonight.
Yeah, and you mentioned it. Memphis, I mean, even without some of their guys, Ja Morant included, this team is still, I think, 8-2 their last 10 games. I mean, so and they don't have anything to play. I mean, they can't move up or down. They're going to be number two, but yet they're still staying motivated and trying to carry all that momentum going into the playoffs.
Yeah, they are, and you know, they're a good team with or without Ja Morant. They're just a good team, and you know, it's just you look at them and it's just interesting. Raise your hand if you had Memphis second in the West,
right?
Nobody had Memphis second in the West, and so what a job that Taylor Jenkins has done with this basketball team, and obviously just a great group of players. And you can see from a lot of the clips and the highlights of that basketball team, they love hanging out with each other. They're friends. There's just great chemistry as well as being really good basketball players. And so they're just playing hard. They're a young team. They're playing really hard. And, you have to get that sorted out if you're the Nuggets. This is a Memphis team that forces a lot of turnovers, scores a big chunk of points off of turnovers. They can knock in the three-point shot as well. They do a lot of things really well. They're going to put your defense in motion a lot. They're one of the higher pass rate teams in the NBA, and so if you're not going to come in locked in, then this team can really cause you problems.
Chris, let's talk about this team, this Nuggets team, and you know what those expectations are. Obviously, get this one tonight, and you've locked up a playoff spot, and you know going up against who? Maybe Dallas, Golden State. What do the Nuggets need to do? I mean, we know Joker's going to be MVP-like in the playoffs, no doubt about it, but what are the keys for the Nuggets to do something in these playoffs and make some noise?
Well, I think that Joker needs help. And I think when we go back to last year's playoffs, just eventually what happened was there just wasn't enough consistent production outside of Nikola Jokic. And consistent significant production is, I think, maybe a word I need to put in there as well. Outside of Nikola Jokic, that would have helped the Nuggets even, you know, win a game against the Phoenix Suns. And I think if the Nuggets are going to do anything, A, first of all, get themselves into the playoffs, but B, once you're in there, you know, what are you doing once you're in there? You know, who's contributing outside of that? And I thought that the game against the L.A. Lakers on Sunday was pretty instructional, because when Aaron Gordon and Will Barton were scoring in the 20s as well, you know, and you have Jokic doing his thing, the Nuggets are really hard team to beat, because now you have multiple, a team can't hone in on Jokic alone or try to junk up the game a little bit to make somebody else beat them, because somebody else is beating them. And I just think the difference between making noise and not making noise is who else is consistently putting point production on the board next to Nikola Jokic, no matter what the defense, no matter what the team, because that's what they got used to with Jamal Murray, in addition to big play making capabilities late in games, and stuff like that. You knew Jamal Murray was going to put points on the board. You knew Jokic was going to put points on the board, and that took pressure off of everybody else, so that all they had to do was find maybe a third player each night to do that. Okay, well, now you need that second player and that third player. Who's going to be those guys? I would submit to you that it has to be Will Barton and Aaron Gordon. And Aaron Gordon has been great. I mean, he had 18 points and 13 rebounds in the loss the other night, too. So I'm not even so much worried about him bringing nightly basis, but who else can do that? And if the Nuggets can do that, then they can be a very, very difficult team to have to handle.
Yeah, well, and you're right that the help is needed for so many different reasons, obviously to make some noise in the playoffs. But, you know, as we saw the clip the other night, Chris, Coach Malone's like, Joker, you're back in. And I mean, Joker's like, what, already? You're seeing it. You know, he's definitely showing, I don't know if he's showing signs of wearing out, but man, they have leaned on him so much. I was watching the Suns-Lakers game, Chris, and in the broadcast, they were talking about the Nuggets, and they say, the Nuggets are perhaps the best team in the NBA when the Joker's on the floor, but perhaps the worst team in the NBA when he's off the floor. How far off base or on base are they on that statement?
Well, especially when the bench is not playing well the way that it didn't against the San Antonio Spurs, it's a pretty big drop-off. And, then, you know, there was a big chunk of that game where there were, like, technical fouls and everything else that was happening. And so just everything was set a little bit haywire with the Nuggets in that game against San Antonio. And, you know, I thought the one thing that didn't help the Nuggets in that game was it was necessary that Austin Rivers had to start, and it was necessary that Jamichael Green had to start. And those two guys have been part of that five-man bench unit that really had gained a lot of momentum and a lot of steam, so that your non-Jokic minutes weren't nearly as costly as maybe they had been early to mid-season. And so, the team's not going to get better when Jokic is off the court, you know, for the most part. But what they can do is not be much worse. And they have shown instances where they have the ability to even stretch out a lead a little bit. And so, but I think it really is dependent on that bench unit being the five that has shown the ability to do that. And so, you know, you're talking Bones and Austin and DeMarcus and Jamichael, but they weren't on the court, and they're not going to be on the court again today because I believe Jeff Green is questionable. So we'll just see if he plays in this game. But those non-Jokic minutes are obviously very critical. And I thought that late in the season, they had started to get a lot better. But when you start mixing and matching lineups again, it becomes a problem.
Chris, I think it's in my contract now. I have to ask, Jamal Murray, Michael Porter Jr., still probably not, right? I mean, I'm getting to that point where I'm not expecting it at all.
Yeah, they're both out tonight, so that would leave the Lakers game on Sunday.
Nice warm-up game.
the last chance, which honestly, I think maybe Michael Porter Jr. is not going to play this season. I don't think that that's a thing anymore. I think he's a definite write-off. Now, look, if the Nuggets can get in the sixth spot and then have the week off next week, I guess there's a slim chance that, you know, Jamal Murray could practice maybe a couple of times and see, you know, and then maybe if he feels good, play in a playoff game, I guess. You know, I don't know. It's not a scenario that I've ever seen before from a team in terms of an injury rehab of this magnitude. So I guess we'll just have to continue to wait and see on this because the Nuggets refuse to rule either one of them out, to quite be honest with you. I mean, and as long as they continue to refuse to rule either one of those players out, then it's always going to be a question that's kind of hanging over the situation. But I would just say Michael Porter Jr. probably is a no for the remainder of the season. Jamal Murray, if they don't have to play a play-in game and lose practice time, maybe that affords him an opportunity to practice and to see what he feels like at that point in time.
Yeah, well, and again, like you've told us a million times, even when you get him in, you can't expect Bubble Murray. You can't even expect, you know, the year before Murray. And if that happens, amazing. That's a bonus. But look at what we're seeing with Klay Thompson. I mean, it's taken him still. He's still not to his old self. So I think that even if he comes back, the expectations have to be pretty low.
Yeah, they really do. And then there's going to be minutes restrictions involved and, you know, everything else. And so, you know, this is not an easy road for him. And as you just pointed out, Klay Thompson, he has been back with the Golden State Warriors for many weeks now. And he doesn't always still look like the Klay Thompson of old. And it just takes that first season, which is why, you know, I think about midseason we were talking about Jamal Murray. And my hope was for him to be able to get back to the team maybe by the end of March and start that clock now. Because, you know, what you don't necessarily want is now next season starting the clock of, okay, now you're back, now you're playing games, now maybe it's taking you the entire season to feel like yourself, or maybe you never do in your first season. And so
I think we just lost Chris. Yeah. Oh, there Chris, we still got you, man.
Oh, yeah. You see, I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm driving around out here.
You're good, man. We got you crystal clear again. Pretty hey, fun. Chris, before we let you go, man, what do you think? How far can the Nuggets go? Can they get past the first round? Can they go even deeper? What do you think?
Well, I hope they get past the first round. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I think they're good enough to do that, but they have to play a better brand of basketball from a mistake-free standpoint. You don't want your especially the turnovers turning into immediate points the other way. You don't want that to happen. And then defensively, they have to be much better as well. If they can do those things, you know Jokic is going to bring it. Can you find a couple of other guys as well? I mean, that I just listed off a lot of things that would need to happen. But, I mean, I think they're capable of that, but can they do that, you know, six or seven times in a series? I guess we'll find out.
Yeah. Now, Chris, I'm going to be down there tonight, man. I'm looking forward to this. This is a good game to go to.
Oh, yeah. Beautiful. Yeah. You need to say hi. I'll see you down there.
I'm going to try. I'm sitting in your the radio suite, so I'll wave from afar, but come up there or something, man. Let's hang out. Let's do something.
Well, I'll be on the altitude set in section 136. So
all right, I'm writing it down. Yeah. 136. All right, my man, Chris. Always love talking to you. I'm looking forward to this one tonight.
Yep, me too. And all right, we'll talk to you.
All right, see ya, Chris Dempsey, Altitude TV. Hey, you want to know a weird stat? This is going to make you really sad, Jade. You want to know why Major League Baseball struggles so much? Today's opening day. You got half the league playing. Half the league is in action. You want to know how many teams are going to be on national television between today and tonight? One. Did you get that? One. One Major League Baseball game is going to be on national TV tonight. through mixed with today. And it's going to be on ESPN2. Do you want to know how many games will be on national TV tomorrow for the second half of opening day? Zero. Zilch. That kind of goes to show you what the national media has to say, at least about opening day. You're going to get one game on opening day on ESPN2? Wow. 20 minutes after the hour. When we come back, let's talk about Russell Wilson. Let's talk about Adam Silver. Let's talk about LeBron James is at it again. We got tons of stuff to hit. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Eller Communications Studios. Do not go anywhere because you got to hear what LeBron's saying now. We'll talk about it next.
Want sports from the coach? Tune in to Clark and the Coach, weekdays at 11 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
What's up, Hooligans? This is Zach Stevens with DNVR Broncos, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Well, we know the Lakers season is over pretty much. I mean, they got a couple of regular season games left, but they have missed the playoffs, which I know Nuggets fans are thrilled about. LeBron James is already kind of scheming. He's already cooking something up. I mean, we talked about him yesterday as far as the jumping around and the way he kind of hurt his legacy. Well, he's at it again. It was on the Shop, kind of a podcast type show. And, you know, he's talking about who he wants to play with next. Who would be the ideal player? Not any of his actual teammates, but, well, here he is.
Who else you want to play with?
In today's game, Steph Curry.
Yeah, that's the one.
Steph Curry's the one that I want to play with, for sure, in today's game.
Why Steph?
Man, I love everything about that guy.
All right, Steph Curry. So, is he going to go to Golden State now? Is he going to lobby to go to Golden State? Steph Curry was told about what LeBron had to say, and here was Curry's reaction.
He might want to play with you next weekend now.
That is phenomenal. When did he say that? Was that on the Shop?
Yeah.
I guess the latest one, like, yeah. Okay.
No. Well, we got his wish, so he's the captain. He's picked me the last two All-Star games, so I don't know if that suffices, but I'm good right now.
How does that make you feel, though?
Good right now. I mean, whenever you get the interest or curiosity of what it would be like to play with arguably MVP kind of caliber dude like he is and one greatest of all time. Cool. Like, it's amazing.
Right.
We all can live in that fantasy world, though.
Yeah, that was good. It was a good response by him. But you can read between the lines. You know what? I'm good here. I got Klay Thompson will be back next year better than ever. I mean, he's back now, but he'll be better and we'll see what Draymond Green's situation looks like, but they're good. LeBron. Then you start to see what about the Nuggets? Oh my goodness, I would not like to see that. I wouldn't want to see that at all. What do you think? LeBron James in a Nuggets uniform? Look what he did with the Lakers. The whole thing is in shambles now. I mean, yeah, they won a title 2 years ago, but again, in the bubble. How much stock do you want to put into it? It's debatable, I suppose. Interesting. No, he left the Lakers in shambles. All right, Adam Silver's talking about, you know, he was kind of addressing certain things going on in the NBA. Certainly disturbed at a current trend as far as star players not participating. Here's what Adam Silver had to say about that.
We didn't have discussions about trade demands per se. Greater concern to me is a trend of star players not participating in a full complement of games. And I think that's something we, together with the Players Association, need to address. I have a great solution. Part of the issue is injuries. And one of the things we have focused on at the league office, and we had begun to spend a lot of time on pre-pandemic, are there things that we can do in terms of sharing information, resources around the league to improve best practices, rehabilitation, et cetera. And the other way we can get at it in terms of player participation is creating other incentives. I mean, it may be, you know, play-in tournament, I thought was, you know, a beginning of creating renewed incentives for teams to remain competitive and be fighting for playoff position. It may be through in-season tournaments and changes in format where we can get at it. But I think particularly, you know, to the earlier question about direct-to-consumer, and our players are going to need to understand this too, you know, that if you're in a model where rather than buying a package, that in many cases you need to convince that fan, that consumer, each time that your product is worth buying.
You know, and again, this is the NBA is trying to fix some things too, and it just kind of goes to show you that all of these leagues, the NFL and NHL, MLB, and NBA, they're all working every single year trying to fix things. And Adam Silver brings up this current trend, which it has been, you know, it's been picking up over the years, the load management thing, the superstars not participating in a full complement of games. That's a big deal. You know, I talked about it weeks ago when Golden State came to Denver and they didn't bring Steph Curry. They didn't play Steph Curry because Steve Kerr was mad. He didn't like the way the things were handled as far as the rescheduling when the Nuggets couldn't go against Golden State. Well, they had eight. The minimum's nine. They had eight guys, so it's a league rule. Steve Kerr didn't like the handling of that, so, you know, he's whatever. Protest, whatever. Didn't play Steph Curry. Well, it pisses fans off. I mean, I know it's gamesmanship, but I would like to know very much heading into a game, if I'm a fan, that certain stars aren't going to play. You know, like tonight, for example. I mean, this is a big enough game for Denver where I think it's got a lot of appeal. Plus, you're getting to go see the MVP, Nikola Jokic. But Ja Morant's not playing, right? Now, you've known that for a while, though, and he's actually hurt. So, I think that they have to look into this. You know, as far as stars just deciding, oh, tonight's not tonight. It kind of seemed like it started with Kawhi Leonard, didn't it? You know, load management. They're just going to rest him for a while. Just not play him. They, you know, what's funny, at the beginning of the season, Denver, Michael Malone actually said that they were going to try some load management with Nikola Jokic. That they were just going to pick out 5 to 10 games that he's just out no matter what. We were going to go ahead and say that now. They didn't do that. Do you think Joker fought that? You don't have that problem with Joker. The MVP of the league. If he can, he plays every night. How many games did he miss this year? He missed one with an ejection. And then I think, was there a knee injury for one game? Maybe a half, a game and a half, because he missed the second half of a game. So I think he missed like 2.5 games, but one of those he got, not ejected, he got suspended for the Morris push. And then an injury. But they talked about it at the beginning of the season. Michael Malone was like, yeah, we're going to try that. We're going to do it. But Joker probably fought it. The guy doesn't want to miss any playing time. Now, the NBA, again, we're talking about Major League Baseball want to make edits to their game. NBA's trying to fix it, too. You know, I think a lot of people still like the idea of going to 72 to 62 games, but they hesitate with that because the owners are losing money. But imagine 62 games. Every game is meaningful at that point. Because wouldn't you agree that in the NBA, even with the best teams in the league, there's 10 to 20 games where it's like, you know, we don't have it tonight. We're down 15 already. We're not going to push. We're done. And there's a lot of those games, right? Now, if it's 62 games, everything's a little bit tighter. I do think that baseball, hockey, and basketball, too many games, but it does typically come down to some tight finishes. I mean, for as many games as baseball has, it is crazy that typically that those final wild card spots or two do come down to a game or so. Same with the NBA. Look at the Nuggets. Out of 82 games, it's going to come down still to 81 or 82 for the Nuggets to get into the playoff spot. I think the play-in game has helped that a lot. There's interest right now. So if the play-in game didn't exist, the last, I don't know, half a dozen to a dozen games wouldn't have mattered. As far as standings, it would have. But the Clippers are eighth, and they are five games ahead of the Pelicans. So if we were just going one through eight, the playoff teams would have been decided a while ago, a week or two ago. So you go to the last 12 games aren't really meaningful. But in this case, I mean, you had the Lakers fighting to get into 10th all until the last three or four games. You have the Spurs at 34 and 45. They're in. They are in a play-in game. They will play either Minnesota or Denver for a chance to get into the playoffs. Now, a quick refresher for you. The bottom two play-in teams, New Orleans and San Antonio at 9 and 10, would have to win two games to get in. Minnesota and the Clippers at 7 and 8 only have to win one. So Minnesota would play San Antonio. If Minnesota wins that, San Antonio is out. I believe. No. San Antonio is not out. Right? Am I right on that? Minnesota would play San Antonio. The Clippers would play the Pelicans. And the losers of those two would play each other, is what I believe. Yeah, so if Minnesota beats the Spurs, Minnesota locks up a spot. However, if the Pelicans beat the Clippers or something, they'd still have to beat the Spurs to get in. It's confusing, but I like it. I've actually changed my tone on this one, or my tune, I should say. Brady LeBron trails Embiid 30.4 to 30.3. What does that mean? Will his ego cause him to go for the lead or hang it up? Oh, as far as point totals? No, he'll hang it up this year. He's not. He's done. He's not playing Sunday. Or however many games they have left. I know they got the Nuggets on Sunday. 36 minutes after the hour. Where's Tiger now? Is he 10th? He's moving down? Getting close to the 20 territory? Is he 23rd?
19.
Oh, well, it's not bad, right? Stay in the top 20?
He's currently even.
Huh? That's good, right?
Well, the number one guy is minus 6.
Ah, that's bad. Bad for Tiger, then. He's way behind. 36 minutes after the hour, short break coming up. Let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This is Jenny Kavnar from AT&T Sports Tonight, your host for the Colorado Rockies. You're listening to the whole show on KFKA. Fire up the fountain.
Welcome back to the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. Thanks for being with us here. All right, so I mean, Russell Wilson is just like he's all in. He just like Peyton Manning, he bought all in to what's going on with his Broncos situation. Now he's pumped about the Rockies. He's thrown out the first pitch, which I think is kind of cool. It's kind of poetic. He was drafted by the Rockies. Here's Russell Wilson getting pumped up talking about tomorrow.
Yeah, Russell Wilson here, quarterback, Denver Broncos. So yeah, it's exciting. And you know what's also exciting? I think the Colorado Rockies play this weekend, right? I mean, I think it's opening day, you know, baseball, Rockies, Dodgers, great game. I guess I got to go to the game, right? I mean, maybe I'll bring my glove. Maybe I'll see you guys there.
Great! You know where he's going tonight, Jades? He's going to be at Ball Arena. I'm going to be hanging out with him probably. Knowing my luck, I think he's going to shoot free throws or something at halftime or something. Crowd's going to go nuts. Russell's going to be there. Oh, man. And Peyton did the same thing. You know, he marketed the other teams. He went to the games. Von Miller was like that, too. This is exactly what you want. And if, you know, the Rockies, perfect move. Give him a call. Get him out there. And drum up even more excitement. I love how he introduces himself. Russell Wilson, quarterback for the Broncos. Like, dude, you could just say Russ and everybody would know. A little cheesy. Is Russ too cheesy for you, Jades? I say bring it on. He's a corny, like, what, Mr. Unlimited? I love that. I don't really know what it meant. I still to this day don't really know what Mr. Unlimited's all about. But I got to say, it is great having Russell Wilson as a Denver Bronco and as a Colorado guy now promoting our area teams. You know, going to be at the Nuggets game tonight. He's going to be throwing out that first pitch tomorrow. That's what you do, man. You make the rounds. You market your teams. You market your city. And he is now like buying all into this thing. Still seems unreal, doesn't it? Dream come true. Russell Wilson. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043, 888-530-0043. Our Method Flow Products poll question of the day is available at thewholeshow.com. Go ahead and answer that one. Should there be a pitch clock in Major League Baseball? Talking about some changes, you know, with the pitch calm and all that stuff. Should a pitch clock now be the point of emphasis for baseball? Is that going to do the trick? Something needs to be done to make this game a little more exciting. I don't know. Is that the thing? And again, if you're baseball today and tomorrow and you're looking at it going, wow, it's opening day? And we have one game on national TV tonight. No games on national TV tomorrow. On opening day. Really? That seems crazy to me. You know how there would be an uproar if we didn't have the first weekend of NFL football on. I mean, that just goes to show you how different the sports truly are, how far apart the NFL is. Well, even the NBA gets love on opening weekend or on their opening week, don't they? I'm shocked at that. That just kind of shows you the state of baseball right now, not getting some of these national games on. That's nuts. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. That's 888-530-0043. I'm going to bring Tanner Schwint in next segment. We're going to talk about his take about Tiger Woods. I want him to explain himself again. I know he already did, but he needs to do it again. 46 minutes after the hour, short break coming up, and then we'll wrap up the show on the other side. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy, a Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA, live from the Allo Communications Studios.
Want sports from the coach? Tune in to Clark and the Coach, weekdays at 11 on Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Jerry Schimmel, voice of the UNC Bears and host of Amazing Americans, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
I brought Tanner Schwint in here. Of course, Rocky's Rundown's coming up at 2 o'clock. Tanner and Jerry. Who do you have on, man?
We got Patrick Saunders from the Denver Post coming on today.
Great Rockies insider.
Yeah, Bud Black and Bill Schmidt were tied up from 2 to 3, but we'll be getting them very
on a regular
very
basis.
Soon.
Yep, that'll
on
be
a regular
great.
Basis. Yeah, Jerry's got some connections down there. I don't know what. Do you know why?
Former
voice of the Rockies?
I have no idea how that could have happened.
I have no idea either.
I'd be curious to hear Bill. I mean, I want to hear Bud Black, too, but Bill Schmidt, I think he's on fire right now, so I'm excited
to
see.
He's put a little bit of life back in the program, and that's what I'm excited about anyhow.
So Rockies Rundown every Thursday, 2 o'clock. Tanner and Jerry are going to break down the Colorado Rockies. Again, we're going to be the Northern Colorado home for the Rockies this year, too, so we'll be carrying that. I'm excited about it. But I also wanted to bring you in here. I mean, I am actually making the point against you right now. You walked in and you said, oh, you're watching this? The Masters?
That's just because you're too lazy to grab the remote and turn
I normally hate having a TV on in studio, unless it's like March Madness or something.
Yeah.
So I know I will turn it off when people will have it on.
This is the one sport that's not going to distract you by that much.
No, it might make me go to sleep.
Right.
Or something.
Yeah.
But the only reason I left it on is because Tiger Woods.
Yeah.
You said this is bad for golf. He's playing today.
I am in the minority on this. I will always be in the minority on this. But I said this like 3 years ago on a show that used to be run on KFK, the golf show. I thought it was time then for Woods to retire to pave way. If golf wants to grow, like, listen, I liked a lot of your takes that you're talking about today with MLB. How do you grow the game? How do you get more attention on it? There's a lot of different ways that way. But with golf, you look at it and you say, Tiger Woods is it.
There's really no editing you can do in the game of golf to make it better or worse.
Well, no. I mean, maybe
swinging a club, hitting a ball.
Maybe let them drive carts. It's the only other thing that I mean, because they walk everything else. So maybe let them drive carts. That would speed it up a little bit. But you got to build on the narratives that you got. Like, the only other time that I've heard you talk a little bit about golf was Brooks Koepka and Bryson DeChambeau when they had their beef going on.
Oh, no, and also Bubba Watson.
That was like in 2007, so it's been a little bit of time.
I didn't have a show then. Yeah. But when he did his music videos and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Golf Boys,
I missed that
today.
One. Yeah. I missed that
Bubba's
one.
Bubba's part of that. But,
watch that.
Yeah, you're going to have to check that out when you're done here. But Tiger's
eighth right now. Is that right?
Yeah, he's tied for eighth. He's one under.
That's what Jade's 2.0 over there said.
Yeah, he's in eighth right now. He's one under. But listen, at some point, you got to close the book on Tiger Woods and golf, right? Just like in the NBA when you had to move on from Michael Jordan.
Why?
So that you can have the sustainability
I am happy
of the game. Sustainability is not a word.
I don't think it is.
Sustainability.
Sustainability. Word of the day.
Sustainability.
I like that Tom Brady came back. I like that. We still all love to hate LeBron James. Like,
okay.
I don't want to lose these greats.
I get it. But when you look at Tiger, okay, yeah, he's eighth right now. How is that leg really going to hold up? I honestly don't know if he'll make, you know, this is probably bolder now. I don't know if he'll make the cut. And if he does, he probably won't be in contention.
What does he have to be ranked to make the?
I don't know where the cut line. We'll know where it is tomorrow. But
he's in a good set.
No, it's not set. It's an average of where the golfers are at. He's in a really good spot as he just drills.
How many?
4 feet from the pin.
How many make the cut?
Half the field.
Oh. Okay. See, so it goes to show you, I know nothing about this.
No, it's all good, but you got to build on who's going to carry you after Tiger Woods because his days are numbered. And yeah, like I said, I root for the guy too. It's a bonus having him there. But in the long run, it's an issue. In the long run, you're not building up anybody else. You're just, all the spotlight is on one guy with Tiger Woods. And when he's out of contention this weekend, you didn't build up on any of the
narratives. Nobody's watching it if Tiger's not on this.
Because
thing,
they suck it. Marketing other than Tiger Woods, and he did a lot of that himself.
What is that,
Rory McIlroy?
I like him. Yep. I like because he's Scotland or Ireland or something.
Yes,
I like his accent.
I can't.
They should market him more.
I thought I knew what the flag was. I'm looking at it right now, but I don't.
They should do that.
He's Irish.
There we go. I got that right.
Can you look that up, Jaden? Jaden doesn't. I don't know if I have the power to ask him for. Is Rory McIlroy Irish? I think.
Give us some efforting music. Let's look it up. You know, efforting. If you have efforting. Music. There it is.
That's like the fourth Google term is Rory McIlroy Irish. I don't care how much he won. Yeah, he's Irish. He's Irish.
Oh, okay. Nice job.
He's Northern Irish, if that means anything to the
kinda does.
People out there.
Yeah.
But no, I think that it's time to move on from Tiger. I love the story, but when he won the Masters in 2019, that's the epitome of golf. That is the best moment in golf we're going to get, period. So let's try and move on to expectations of what we're actually going to have. In basketball, you're always going to have a great basketball player because the game's so popular. But in golf, you're never going to have a golfer that comes along and does what the man strutting across the TV right now does. So let's move on and let's try and get the new expectation up there. Build some of these guys up there. Well, I'm all over Will Zalatoris. I think he's going to be a great player. Like you said, Rory, Dustin Johnson's always good. Look at Cameron Smith, the leader right now. I mean, he's a younger guy that is just rolling right now, too, as he finished his round at 6-under. So, it's Tiger, ultimately for golf. Bad thing that he's golfing.
I don't care about Cameron Smith or Walter Payton or whatever you just said. What was his name?
You don't care about Walter Payton?
No, I care about Walter Payton.
Will Zalatoris.
Will Zagabugu. Tiger Woods, man. It's Tiger Woods. That's it. And I hate golf, but I can watch him golf. That's exciting.
I apparently, to a lot of people, I'm very dumb.
Not dumb. Rockies rundown coming up next. Tanner, I'm looking forward to that, man. You guys are pumped for this team.
Yeah, it's going to be great. Opening day tomorrow. If you're going to beat the Dodgers, why not tomorrow?
Do it tomorrow with Kyle Freeland. All right, that's going to do it for us. Good night, Northern Colorado.